competition's poker. And staying till with greedy packs. Best foot forward, aim to please in public. Fancy footwork's done behind their backs.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bray. One of the things, because I forgot who had this idea in the last week or so that we should have a Spotify playlist of all of our bumper music as guests come in and suggest. You know, Frank obviously just had two really great fun songs.
Right.
And I'm trying to think of someone actually listening to the playlist, and then the mullet song and the politician's polka coming on, and then be like, skip.
No, it's exposure to a wide range of musical genres, Kristen.
Of creative genius.
We're just embracing everything here on this show.
Well, there's so many different ways to go. I wanted to spend this segment kind of just doing a level set of voting in Wisconsin and not the actual accurate action of voting, but the nonsense that continues. And so I switched up. At first, for my video for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week, I was like, I feel like I should talk about Gableman. But then I also figured by the time we recorded it yesterday and we posted it, it would be a little bit stale. And I also justified it saying, well, I don't think he's going away.
But there's always wrinkles.
There's always wrinkles. And so I feel like let's start with what we just heard in the news update, which I actually missed this. I didn't realize this happened last night. But Harry Waite. Guy from Racine County, who at the end of July admitted that he purposefully...
Illegally
committed voter fraud to prove a point that the myvote.wi.gov system is not foolproof. Which, of course it's not, because it's not made for people to purposefully commit voter fraud. But he, basically for 10 different people, he had their address, he had their name. What I don't know is if, he clearly didn't have all these people's IDs. And so did all 10 of these, because one of, and I know this because I made this video, this was like my first As Goes Wisconsin video, is when you're requesting an absentee ballot, you have to upload a picture of your ID.
Yes.
And one of the things that happened in April 2020, when there was such a rush for people to do that, was people were sending selfies. People didn't know how to, you know, and like the first video I made was me showing my mom how to do it and it being a step-by-step video to show that it's much easier on your phone, yada, yada, yada. And so, first of all, for him to have done this, he either also had the consent of all these people, so he had a picture of their IDs if they weren't already in the system, or he... All these people requested absentee ballots in the past and had an uploaded picture of their ID. So that has not been reported on. I'm kind of surprised no one's asked that question, or if they have, I haven't seen the article write up of like how he got around that. But basically, he had their address. He did it for Voss. Who was the other person he did it for?
The Racine mayor.
The Racine mayor. And he was able, without it getting flagged, to request ballots. And he also had put in a different address from the address that these people were registered at. Now, I don't think he actually got the ballots, though.
And he didn't submit them. Had he gotten the ballots and filled them out and sent them in, isn't that where other checks come in to...
It's other checks that come in, because I know this because I just did this. I have it checked that... Send me my absentee ballots for the entire year. So if you go in at the beginning of the year, as we said yesterday when Angela Lang was on, we have an election every 6 months. So it's a good way to remember when primaries are for nonpartisan seats, and that, you know, already next year in February, we'll have the primary for the nonpartisan seats, including Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And then in April, we'll have the general nonpartisan election. And so I just go in, I check the box, I say,
send them all.
So, but then I, because I procrastinate now twice, both elections this year, one of the spring elections, either the primary or the general. And then last Tuesday, I had to bring my absentee ballot in with me because I waited too long to mail it. And so I had to still go to my polling place, hand them my absentee ballot, which they destroyed. And then you can see on the voter log that my name is there and it's highlighted in yellow and it said sent, absentee ballot sent. So if I were to have shown up trying to vote at my polling place and I didn't have my absentee ballot, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have let me vote.
I'm almost positive like, they
would. And they would have said, no, you don't, you have your absentee ballot. You haven't spoiled your ballot.
You have to use that.
You have to use that. And so, again, he admitted it from the way I understand the story. He admitted it before there was any further checks to make sure that this was on the up and up. And now he's, from some people, including Ron Johnson.
Our senator.
Mandatory Johnson. Including by him saying that he's some sort of like
hero.
White hat hero. And not a criminal. Which, by the way, this is also within the same year that the Republican candidate for Attorney General, Eric Toney, made a example out of five different people who he like prosecuted them basically to the upteenth of the law for people who registered to vote at their UPS address instead of their home address, which is illegal. Like, you need to have an actual physical address. You can't have
a PO box for it.
But he basically like prosecuted them as aggressively as he could, and some critics said it was abuse of his power and his discretion. So in the same year where people made mistakes, we're going to prosecute them. But for this guy who purposefully tried to commit voter fraud because he's trying to make a point, there's now conflicting opinions on whether or not we should actually try to prosecute this person.
Well, do you remember Crystal Mason? So she's the Texas woman who believed she had the right to vote, even though she was a prior felon.
And she hadn't completely
finished her probation mm-hmm. or whatever. And she spent 5 years. She's still behind bars.
I know.
She's still in prison. And that was, as you said, that was an inadvertence. That was a mistake. And this person did this intentionally, knowing it was illegal.
You know what that just made me think of is the stories that you'll hear every once in a while when a parent will lie about their address so their kid can go to a different school district.
Oh, sure.
And then those people get prosecuted. And then we have politicians who lie about where they actually live.
A bunch of them.
Bob Donovan just won his assembly race, his assembly primary for Greenfield after running for Milwaukee mayor.
Well, look at Tim Michaels. And I realize that the candidate for governor spends X number of days in Wisconsin every year, but it sounds like that's just so he can keep his eligibility to vote here because he's been living on the East Coast for a decade.
It's probably also so that he pays Wisconsin taxes.
Yeah.
Because that's certainly, I mean, I know a fair amount of finance bros who spend, you know, enough time in Texas, in Austin, to be able to pay no income taxes, despite the fact that they spend little less than half the year in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
So it can also be a handy tax dodge.
Yes. And so because income taxes are different depending on what state you go to.
Sure.
And while Wisconsin is not zero, it's less than Illinois. It's less than California.
Very true.
That's the thing that's so funny. I remember I spent my entire adult life until 2020 living in the two highest tax states in the country, California and New York. And I remember the first time paying taxes in Wisconsin. Granted, I wasn't making that much money, but realizing like, oh, it's like 6% back that I was paying before.
It
was like, this is like a tax break moving back to Wisconsin versus, you know, the people who are pushing the idea that Wisconsin would be more competitive if we got rid of the income tax altogether, which I'm sure at some point we're going to cover that on this show because I find that argument interesting because we don't have the same certain appeals that a place like Texas or Florida and other states that don't have income tax have, but I digress. Anyways, back to the point at hand. So anyways, Harry Waite, this is the background of this guy. So while it's basically an ongoing investigation if they're going to prosecute him at all, yesterday, he has announced that he is going to contest Voss's win in Racine.
This would be Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
This would be Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who only won his primary by 260 votes against Adam Steen, who is largely almost completely unknown, who had no money for his campaign, but got Donald Trump's endorsement, got Michael Gableman's endorsement, got Janelle Branchon's endorsement.
Michael Gableman, who, by the way, was just fired by Robin Voss.
Largely, you know, because he endorsed Adam Steen. And so now this Harry Waite character is saying he wants to contest the primary. I don't know what standing he has to do that or how that will end up working. But that's happening. Simultaneously, there's at least suggestions that Gableman might lose. I mean, because this is what I said. I was like, there's no way Gableman's going away. And Voss insinuated that he might lose his law license over his behavior and that there's been multiple reports of his behavior to the Office of Lawyer Regulation, which is an agency of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and they're who are in charge of revoking law licenses. So we got that going on. Then we have Representative Janelle Branchon criticizing Robin Voss because she's like, if you're going to be this hard on Gableman, you need to be this hard on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And like I said, Ron Johnson said, I think this guy is a white hat hacker about Harry Waite. And what will have to happen for this to end?
Well, I find it fascinating that it's taken 14, 15 months. Now we're just getting complaints about Michael Gableman's handling of this to the board that oversees lawyers.
Oh, no, I think
it's been ongoing.
I think it's been ongoing. I think it's stuff because between his misogynistic comments, his, he was held in contempt for like $2,000 a day when he wasn't turning over records. Like the list of things that he did over the last year, I think, is long. So I think this was just referenced in the article yesterday where Voss said maybe he'll lose his law license.
But I have to think, with all of this behind-the-scenes sniping at one another, I don't know that this is going to end or how this is going to end. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. We have, again, with all these backdoor maneuvers, and you stabbed me, now I'm going to stab you, and we'll see who else I can get to stab you in the back.
Well, and it's also just this idea that unless your person wins, it must have been rigged, right? Like, even in Arizona with Carrie Lake, who won the Republican primary. It was close, and I think it was two-ish days until they had a final count. But the night of the election, she was already saying it. She was like, if I don't win, it's rigged.
Well, that's absurd.
And then she won, and then she kind of obviously didn't think it was, there was no election fraud because she won.
But these people need to be held accountable when they make those claims like that. And I am disappointed in our media, and I'm disappointed in our reporters when they don't press those people harder when they do things like that.
I know.
It's disappointing and it's frustrating. We've talked about wanting to have access to these people, yet at the same time, you can't just let them say all these blatant falsehoods and move on and go, oh, okay.
Well,
you're right.
They said this, like the headline is they said this, and then in the middle of the article is you cannot decertify the election.
Right.
That has been proven to be impossible. There has been no fraud. Like, there's been no evidence of fraud. Like, instead of the thing being representative lies.
Yeah, wait a minute. That's not true. That is called a lie.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think this fall will be interesting because I think if we get through the election, because there's, you know, polling is polling. And I actually, on my drive to work today, I was like, we should get Charles Franklin as a guest.
Ooh, that'd be great.
Right? After the next Marquette poll comes out, just to talk about polling in general and what it means and
how it works.
Because this will be a state that, as goes Wisconsin, right? We have the Trump endorsed governor, but how does that perform in a general? We have a very unpopular Ron Johnson, who is also an ally of Trump's. How will that perform in the general? Where are independents? Where are our swing voters? And how much will this general election shift how much people are clinging to these? It was rigged! Bah! All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Come back after the break.
Fancy footwork done behind their backs.